the pool. And I was like, no. And she said, okay, if you don't get in the pool, I'm going to drag you into the pool. And I'm like, no, you wouldn't do that to me. You're my mommy. You wouldn't do that to me. And she gets up and she grabs my leg. And at this point, I'm screaming like, no, don't do it. I don't want to get in the pool. Right? And I don't remember how old I was. I was little. I was 4. Is that better? Does that make you feel good inside? Anyway, so she bends down and scoops me up. And she's carrying me towards the pool. And I was kicking and screaming and throwing what used to be known as a wall-eyed fit. Today, I don't know what it's called, just a fit, just a tantrum, hissy fit, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, so I was just going berserk, kicking and screaming. Every eye in the whole place is staring at my mom, drilling holes in her evil little body with their eyes. You know, like, I can't believe that mom would be that mean to drag her kid like that. That is horrible. And she didn't care. She just kept marching, and she gets into the pool, and she goes all the way out to the middle, and she sets me down, and I'm standing there just like, and she looks at me, and she goes, and she walks away. And so I'm standing there. My mom is walking away back towards the edge of the pool. She's climbed out. I didn't get out of the pool for like 6 hours. Once I got in the pool, I realized it's not hot in the water. Splashing other kids is kind of fun. Swimming, not so bad. Playing like cartoon tag in the pool with all the other kids. I was having a great time. She had to drag me out of the pool. It was a good day. Why do I tell you this story? I've been in youth ministry now for coming up on 2 years full-time, and before that I was in youth ministry for 6 or 7, and I've been around teenagers for well over a decade, okay, as a teacher and as a coach and in youth ministry. And what I've seen a lot of times is teenagers behave the same way. Like, I don't want to go to that camp. It's going to be stupid. None of my friends are going, and I'm going to be there all alone, and then they go. Oh, my goodness. And then they realize, dear heavens, that was amazing. And one of the things that happens with teenagers a lot is, have you guys ever heard of lemmings before? Anybody in here ever heard of lemmings? Okay, there's a handful of you that have heard of lemmings. Okay, so lemmings are small furry rodents, and they live in far northern areas where it's very cold, and they live kind of underground. I'm telling a story about lemmings. Can I talk now? Because they really don't. But it might be necessary sooner or later. So lemmings, they reproduce faster than rabbits. I mean, a lemming population of 5 can turn into a lemming population of 100 in like 2 months or something. I mean, they just go, and one of the things that happens is lemmings multiply is they get this urge to migrate because they burn out all the resources. So they have to migrate, they have to migrate, they have to migrate, and they have to migrate. And one of the things that happens as they migrate is they come across bodies of water. So if they run into a creek, they swim across the creek. If they run into a river, they swim across the river. And one of the things that happens is sometimes they get to this place where there's an edge and a bluff and a cliff. And this is the part that you guys have all seen, like lemmings jumping off a cliff. They do that because they have to migrate, not because they're stupid and they want to die. They have to migrate. It's a part of who they are. They have to migrate. So anyway, I tell you this story about the lemmings because there's this saying about first lemmings. A whole bunch of lemmings will stack up on a cliff's bluff, and they'll all look over the edge, but none of them will jump until one brave lemming either jumps or kind of jumps, and which happens, like they get pushed off. And then once one goes, then the next go, and the next go, and then there's a bunch of lemmings coming off this cliff, crashing into the water, and then they start swimming. High schoolers are a lot like lemmings. They get to this place where something hard comes up and then they look over and they're like, dude, I'm not doing that. That's hard. There's the hard thing there. So what would you rather do, the hard thing or the easy thing? I'm going to go the easy way. Because they get to this point where they don't want to do the hard thing. They want to do the easy thing. There's this naturally ingrained part of them that wants to do, I don't care what you're looking up. Whatever the pastor does, he's probably going to lie about it. I'm just saying. That was sarcasm. Dear Lord, forgive me. All right, I'm better now. So teenagers are like that. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this, right? But you'll get a bunch of teenagers together, and they'll come up against something that's difficult or challenging, or, you know, one way or another, it's hard. And then one of them will do it, and then the rest will do it. You guys do that. And so one of the things that I'm asking you very clearly tonight is, ready for this? Look at my eyes. Be that one. Be that one that does it. Be the one that takes the plunge. Turn the negative peer pressure and flip it upside down and make it positive. Be the one who does the thing that's hard but good and set the example for others. This will be quite interesting to you. Ready? You don't have to go there yet. Hold your Bible flipping. Look at me. Giant white guy. Very white. The word go appears 67 times in the book of Matthew. 67 times just in the book of Matthew. It's about 340 times the word go appears in the New Testament. Go. I don't know if there's like a theme going on in the New Testament with the word go, but maybe one of the thrusts of the New Testament is to tell you guys, go! To tell us all, go! Don't not go, go! And it's easy to not go, but go anyway. Go anyway. Did you know this summer we took three trips as refuge? We went to, as a group, some of us went to Spirit West Coast. There were 11 people that went to Spirit West Coast. Five of them had the last name Sherwood. Right. Always, it's always about that. So five of them Sherwood. So 11 minus 5 is 6. One adult. Oh, that's right, because Jeff was in Washington. My bad. There were only 4. So there were 7 non-Sherwoods. Right? Also, let's do some math. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yep, that adds up. Also, there was a mission trip to Mexico. Mission trip to Mexico. 4 people total. 2 students went to Mexico. Also, there was a trip to Rock and Water. Any of you guys go to Rock and Water? Yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Aaron's not here tonight. Rock and Water. I don't know if you guys caught this, but I'm going to show the video real quick. Will you click on the little video thing? Ready for this? Go. Through you. So not to pick on anyone, because I don't want to pick on anyone, but I must have invited in excess of 20 students on this trip. I took four. And one of them I had to drag along the way. It was both of you, brother. I love you, but it was both of you. So it's that. Bob, will you hit one more bank of lights for me? I gotta ask. Tyler, scale of 1 to 10, how much fun was that? It was like a 12. Layton, 1 to 10? It was beyond that. It was beyond that. Joel, how much fun did you have? A lot. Okay. It's hard to classify as a number. I understand. Zane, what about you? It was amazing. It was amazing. How about this? Let me ask you a different question. Layton, did you get to know anybody that you didn't really know before? Okay. A little too much? Tyler, did you get to know anybody that you didn't know before? Joel, what about you? Did you get to know some people a little bit? Yeah. One of the things that literally I had Boone in my office today, and he said, It seems like that the people in Refuge like each other a lot. There are a lot of people in here, and you guys like each other a lot. But you're not really so much friends outside as much as you are inside. And I started thinking about this, and one of the things that I would love to do is to continue to build the relationships in this group. And one of the ways that happens is going on trips. I'm just telling you. Going changes your life. It changes things forever. If we ask Joel and Shay if anything in Mexico changed them, they would nod wildly, right? For sure. If we asked some of the people about going to Spirit West Coast and Ammo Conference, if they were changed by the experience, there would be lots of people nodding wildly, because these kinds of things change us from the inside out. When we build relationships and we're altered from the inside out. So I'm going to read some scripture to you guys. Are you all already there? I'm way behind. Can we put the one with the scripture up maybe? Is that possible? It's on before that. It's, where is it? Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Starting in verse 14. There it is. Beauty. Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. Say amen if you're there. Amen. Amen. Okay, so watch this. Ready? This is Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus. This is Jesus, and this is what he said. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who calls his servants and entrusts his property to them. To one of them, he gave 5 talents of money. By the way, a talent was like a huge sum of money. Some would say it was about $10,000. It might be more than that. It might be as much as $20,000. Okay, so the first guy, he gave somewhere in the neighborhood of, I don't know, between $50,000 and $100,000. Okay? It wasn't like he gave him a quarter. He gave him a bunch of money. He gave him 5 talents of money. To the second one, 2 talents, so that might be somewhere in the neighborhood of $40,000. And to another, 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gave 5 more. So also the one with 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Seriously? Dug a hole and hid his... Anyway, verse 19. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them, and the man who had received 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Sounds good to me. I'm in. 22. And the man with 2 talents also came. Master, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share. By the way, did the master say, hey, you only got me 2 talents? The other guy got me 5, you doughhead. How come you didn't give me 5? No, that's not what he said at all. He said, okay, I gave you some, and you gave me an equal amount back. The one he gave more, he expected more from. The one he gave less, he expected less from. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the one talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown. Can you hear him kind of sniveling? Harvesting where you've not sown, and gathering where you haven't scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talents in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I did not sow and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so when I returned, I would have at least received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. For everyone for everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And they threw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's such a happy story, right? A happy tale. Ready for this? Ready for this? Go! God's called you to go, to do, not to sit. There's a great challenge here. You have an opportunity to change the world, or you can play Xbox. Right? You can, wait, watch this one now. You can go and talk to somebody and change their life, or you can text them, which probably won't do much of anything. I'm just saying. Texting is like this much of communication. Go. Life is not a spectator sport. So here's what I had to say about this. Go. When things are offered, go. Go bowling. Pastor Chris, bowling is not going to make a difference in life. You're right. Except for you might build a relationship with somebody that'll change the course of your thinking. You might build a relationship with somebody who doesn't even know Jesus and change the course of their eternity. Go. Go. Don't not go. Don't come up with excuses. Don't say, I can't do it because I have this, and I can't do it because I have that. Sometimes you can't go, and I understand that. But excuses are for losers. Go or don't go. I'm going to quote Yoda here. I quoted Yoda earlier to somebody else in a text message. I won't say who, Layton, but Layton was like, I'm teetering between doing this and doing that. And it's the same with the Karate Kid. Some of you guys remember, anybody ever, never mind. In the Karate Kid, there's this scene, and it's the same idea. Yoda says, do or do not. There is no try. Because that's what I hear from students all the time. Oh, PC, I'll try. Why don't you just say you're not going to do it? I would much rather you say I can't. Or say I can and do it. But don't say I'll try. Because trying is like, worthless. Yeah, like you don't really want to do it. I'll try. Okay. I'll try. I'll try to put food on the table for my children. Try to make sure that they have clean clothes to wear. I'll try to love my wife. I'll try to spend time with her. I'll try to do my job. I'll try to get here on time. I'll try to have a message prepared for you guys. I'll try to be an encouraging guy. Shut up. Do it or don't do it. There is no try. With the Karate Kid, it was different, but it's the same. So I have, it was different, but it was the same. Yeah, wax on, wax off, the whole bit. With the Karate Kid, the saying was, it was karate, okay. No karate, okay. Karate, maybe, like crepe. I was squishy like a grape, is what he was saying. So, four things, ready? Four things, put up four fingers. Four fingers, four things. One, Go. Go. Number two, help. Number three, bless. And number four, worship. Go, help, bless, and worship. Help. So I already talked about going. For heaven's sakes, if you don't know what I mean by go now, I'll talk to you guys later. Help. Help means I need people who are willing to set up and tear down chairs. You guys saw me. I was breaking the chairs like during worship. You're all like, what are you guys doing? Well, I'm trying to put the aisle in the middle like I usually do because I like it better this way. It works for me, and I don't like it that way. So how can I help? Well, you can see, hey, look, the chairs are all messed up. Let's put them the way PC likes them. That would be very helpful. I would appreciate that. You could stay after and put the chairs back. It would be fantastic. I would be grateful. I would be blessed. I would be excited. Here's one. Ready for this? You could sign up and help at Awana. At Awana, you help little kids. You listen to their verses. You help. Help at Awana. You can help at the church office. You could help at home. Dear heavens, what would happen to your mom if she came home and you were vacuuming? She'd probably faint. Oh, my goodness. Right? Help. Help. You can help. Here's another place where people need help. Help in the church nursery. If you go to this church and you make this your church home, they need help in the nursery all the time. Help. Help. Bless. Find ways to speak kindly. There's a girl who's actually coming. She's going to fly from Washington. She's going to hang out with us for a week. Her name is Taylor, and she's amazing. And one of the ways that she blesses people, this is just, I don't know if other people started this because of her or, you know, if it was like a parallel thing that did it in another place. But probably, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, she started randomly buying the person in line behind her a latte. Like, she'd pull up, it wasn't Starbucks, but you get the idea, and pay for hers, and then leave a $5 and say, that's for the person behind me. And then she'd leave. And it got to where people, there was a two-way drive-thru, and they would see her on the other side of the drive-thru. And people would try to pay for her latte because they knew that she was doing this for other people. Just a blessing. Small town of 50,000. Not a small town of 2,400. Anyway, you get the idea. Bless people. Find ways to bless people. It doesn't have to be money. You could just call them up and say, hey, I'd like to pray with you. Would that be all right? I have a question. Ready? Watch this. Have any of you ever called somebody up and just said, hey, I want to pray with you. Can I pray with you? Handful of people. Handful of people. It's a blessing. It's a blessing for people. Go, help, bless, and worship. And this is the one, Lord, help me. This is the one. For me, if you don't do anything else, get this. Hear my heart on this. We have got to learn how to be a church that worships. Absolute abandon. Worship without regard to what else is going on. I'm going to flip over to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. Get there. Get there. Get there. Get there. 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. It's after Ruth. It's before Psalms. 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. What page is it on? 214, 215, right in there. 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. This is a story about a guy named David. Anybody ever hear of David? Starting in 1. 2 Samuel chapter 6. David was the king. David was the king. Right? David wasn't just some, you know, lowly peon who happened to die in a battle somewhere. No, David was the king. He wasn't even just a king. He was the king. Big chunks of scripture are written about David. David, ready? Chapter 6, verse 1. David again brought together out of Israel, chosen men, 30,000 in all. He and all his men set out from Bala of Judah to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim on that are on the ark. Don't worry about all the nonsense parts. Just get the ark like in Indiana Jones. Verse 3. You guys have seen Indiana Jones, right? Okay, Lord help us. Verse 3. They set the ark of God on a new cart, and they brought it from the house of Abinadab, which was on a hill. Uzziah and, Ahio, sons of Abinadab, were guiding the new cart with the Ark of the Covenant, and Ahio was walking in front of it. David and the whole house of Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord, with songs, with harps, with lyres, tambourines, sistrums, and cymbals. They were having a party. Moving on, verse 6. That was as black as I get, sorry. Verse 6, When they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzziah reached out and took hold of the ark, and because the ox had stumbled, the Lord's anger burned against Uzziah because of his irreverent act. Therefore, God struck him down, and he died there beside the ark of God. Wait a minute. They had it on a cart. They're wheeling. They got oxen pulling the cart. One of the oxen trips and stumbles and goes down. The ark is going to tip over. Uzziah touches the ark to kind of hold it upright. Bam! Dead. You're not supposed to touch the ark. Verse 8. Then David was angry because of the Lord's wrath had broken out against Uzziah. And to this day, the place is called Perez Uzzah. David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How can the ark of the Lord ever come to me?" He was not willing to take the ark of the Lord to be with him in the city of David. Instead, he took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and his entire household. Now, King David was told the Lord had blessed everything in Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God. So David went down and brought up the ark of God with the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. Okay, rejoicing. We're getting to the good part. Don't worry. I just wanted to get you in the mood. Verse 13. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fatted calf. David was wearing a linen ephod and danced before the Lord with all his might. I'm sorry, what? This is King David, the king. Let's read that part again. Verse 14. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might. Yes! He was the originator of the break dance. Okay, let's read on. David was dancing before the Lord with all his might, while he and his entire house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, which, by the way, was one of his wives, watched from a window, and when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. She's about to start teasing him. Verse 17, they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in the place of the tent that David had pitched for it, and David sacrificed a burnt offering, fellowship offering before the Lord. After he had finished sacrificing the burnt offering and fellowship offering, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread and cakes and dates and raisins and to each person in the whole crowd of Israel, both men and women, and all the people who went in their homes. Verse 20. Watch this. This is craziness. When David returned, are you guys getting this? This is craziness. I'm telling you, this is craziness. This is King David. Verse 20. When David returned home to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of slave girls and of his servants than any vulgar fellow would do." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone else from your house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people." He might have been a little upset. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here. "I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you've spoken of, I will be held in honor." And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children from that day to her birth. Okay, this is sort of staggering. Can you imagine the president of the United States getting, like, freaky? Can you imagine there's some giant party because there's some recognition that something amazing is going on and he wants to bless God for whatever reason. And he starts freaking out. He's ripping off his jacket. He's flinging his tie and he is dancing. Because that's what happened. David was going at it with all his might. Now keep in mind, this is the same David who they sang songs about. Saul has killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands. David was a warrior. He was a man's man. In fact, the Lord wouldn't let him build the temple because God said, no, there's too much blood on your hands. You can't even build my temple. That's what God said to David. He was such a warrior that God wouldn't even let him build his temple. He waited for Solomon to come along, and Solomon didn't have blood on his hands. David was a warrior, and he went after it. And you know what? He got teased from the former king's daughter. And he's like, I don't even care. I do not even care what you say to me. I will clap. I will sing. I will dance. I will jump. I will shout. I will kneel. I will bow. I will lay on my face. I will lay prostrate before the Lord. He's God. And I will worship him. Sometimes I think we get so caught up in how cool we look and how big our reputation is and what's going on in our life and how we're leading a little flock of people and all this stuff's going on. And we get so caught up in all of that, we leave behind the fact that we worship God, the creator of heavens and earth, master of the universe. We lose track of that some way along the way. It's like, how do we get so puffed up that we think clapping's inappropriate? How do we get so full of ourselves that we don't even, you go to a football game and people, their team scores a touchdown, what happens? They're screaming, jumping up and down, fist pumping. They're saying all kinds of high fives and stuff. We're worshiping God. And we're like too ashamed just to lift our hand a little bit. Somebody gets on their knees and starts worshiping. Everybody's like, oh, what's going on with that kid? And then later we're talking, do you see that kid on his knees? Dear heavens, I don't know what's going on with him. Clearly he's got something wrong in his head. Are you kidding me? We're worshiping God. In this place, I said this a bunch of times. I'm going to keep saying it over and over and over. This has got to be a safe place where you can worship. And if that means you're standing with your hands, both hands high, you're worshiping God, nobody cares because you're worshiping God the way you worship God. If that means you're over here in the aisle and Eric's got some song and it's fun and you're jumping up and down, jump up and down. I can't really dance very well, but I can jump, right? You go to a concert, what happens with the whole crowd? Concert, everybody's jumping up and down and they're doing this. I don't know why I can't do any dancing, but I can wave my hand and jump up and down. I don't care, do it. If there's something that strikes you in your spirit and you kneel before God and you're worshiping, that's between you and the Lord. If you're talking about them, lo unto you. God does not look kindly on that. God does not look kindly on that. He loved his servant David. His servant David went so nutso, he stripped naked and danced down the streets. He was butt naked. Worshiping God. I'm not suggesting that, by the way. Keep your clothes on, please. But you get the idea. If we get to the place where we think we're too cool to do something God's asking us to do, we have completely lost track of who's in charge around here. Maybe I should say that again. It was a little disturbing. If we get to the place where we're too cool to do something God's asking us to do, we've forgotten who's in charge. Because when God says something, the only answer is, yes, Lord. That's it. That's it. Now here's, look at my eyes. Look at my eyes. Here's what I expect from this group, because you guys are the faithful ones. You show up week after week. It's the middle of summer, you're still here. I couldn't drive you away with a stick at this point. You are the faithful ones. Now watch this, ready? Be the first lemmings. If there's a song with a beat, Lord help us. Clap! If you want to jump up and down, praise Jesus, do it. If you want to get on your knees before God because he's stirring something in your spirit, he's speaking to you during a time of worship, get on your knees then. Don't be worried about what all the other people are going to think. The people in this room, they heard this too. And the people who weren't in this room, they'll either hear about it or they'll figure it out. Don't be looking over your shoulder when you're worshiping. Be the first lemming. You see, the first lemming doesn't have the luxury of looking back and saying, I wonder who's laughing at me. Because he's just headed for the water. Sploosh. So remember this. Ready? God, unlike my mom, will not hoist you up and drag you into the pool. He won't do it. He won't drag you kicking and screaming. He will let you bake in the sun in your own stubbornness. Because he's not going to alter your choices. He's going to let you make that decision. But I'm telling you right now, when you get in the pool, somebody will have to drag you out. Because the pool is fun. And it is cool. It is refreshing. And the Lord is there. The Lord is there. My challenge to you is to take this seriously. Think about this. Lord, what would you have me change? What would you have me change? Is there something you want me to do? Is there someplace you want me to go? Is there a way you want me to help? How can I be a blessing to get off my butt, quit serving myself, and get out and serve you and bless others? And teach me, Lord, to worship you in spirit and truth with an honest heart and sincerity. We're going to take 2 minutes, and I'd like as many lights as we can turn out. I want you guys to spread all across this place, and I'm going to ask you to spend 2 minutes asking God, what do you want from me? How can I go? How can I be a blessing? How can I help? And teach me, Lord, to worship. 2 minutes of prayer. And then I'm going to ask Eric and the worship team to come up. We're going to test drive it. Test drive it. Test drive it. On your mark, get set. Let's pray real quick. Lord Jesus, I pray right now that your spirit would begin to speak to these young people, that you begin to stir something in us, that you begin to remind us that you are God and we are not, that you are the creator of the universe and we are the creation, and it's our job, it's our purpose to worship you. Begin to speak to hearts right now, I ask in Jesus' name. All right, scatter, spread out, go, go, go. Leighton, Bob, could you put on some, or maybe Hayden, could you put on something just real quiet, just a little bit of music, just real quiet?
separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Nothing this world can even change. I thought I once was lost, but now been given grace. It's a mystery that I will not chase. Yes, it's a mystery that I will not change. This soul is pleading for. Oh, yeah. Oh, my soul is pleading. Oh, my soul is pleading. Oh, my soul is pleading for. Oh, my soul is pleading. Oh, my soul is pleading.
Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise.
take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages for Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as you choose.
Here am I.
Here am I. Shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour. At your feet its treasure store. Take myself, I will be ever only all for thee. Here am I.
Thousands elsewhere.